I have nothing to disclose other than what I'm about to tell you.
Awesome.
And I think what I would start by saying, Jim mentioned that he met me 2 years ago, just as I was starting at MassDPH. So I'm at the beginning of my third year, as of last week, and I've been doing integration ever since I arrived. And hearing about it, it sounded like this very mysterious thing because our staff was extremely confused about what integration meant and where we were going, and it was clear that it was going to take a lot of time for us to get buy-in. And although the CDC had engaged us as pilot states, it was very clear that two things, one of which is that for us it's been a huge change management endeavor, but that integration isn't a new concept. And it's for that reason that I included this slide from Dr. Gro Harlem Brundtland, the former head of the World Health Organization, who back in the late 80s, early 90s, really cited that an integrated strategy for chronic disease prevention is really the way to go. Nevertheless, as pilot states, we all feel that there's something new that we're adding to integration. For Massachusetts, embarking on the integration pilot, we had an overarching goal of wanting to improve and eliminate health disparities across the lifespan and across the state. And within that, we had three primary aims for our project. I refer to us as overachievers because it would have been enough for us to have one aim to work towards. So we've been scrambling to try to really address each of the areas in which we said we wanted to work. One of which relates to the reality that we thought we were selected as a pilot state because health reform was implemented in Massachusetts in 2007. So for our work, there was the potential to contribute something to the understanding of the future of chronic disease prevention in the context of health reform. And that's what our first goal was really about, working on our infrastructure at DPH and specifically in our chronic disease programs to really show what public health does in health reform. Our second goal was to work internally to really do what we needed as chronic disease programs to really affect integration of chronic disease programs. And then we also said that along the way we would develop a community pilot that reflected that we knew what we were doing. But we had no idea what the pilot was going to be. As I describe for you how we've gone about our work, I just wanted to show you that at DPH, we're divided into 10 bureaus. My bureau, Community Health and Prevention, includes the Prevention and Wellness Division, and that's where our chronic disease programs reside. For the negotiated agreement for this demonstration pilot, two other programs are included, though. One is BRFSS, which actually resides within our Health Information Statistics Research and Evaluation Bureau, and tobacco, which is not part of our chronic disease section, but actually is in our substance abuse section. So as we've been doing our work, it's meant that we've still had to work across bureaus and help the staff from both BRFSS and tobacco feel that they belong and that they have the support of their bureau directors to also be a part of our work. And for people who live and die by an org chart, you can imagine that it's easier said than done. So within our prevention and wellness division then, we have the full complement of chronic disease programs, and they're reflected here. What I would say about this slide, since I did arrive at DPH a little over 2 years ago, was that each of these programs was like a mini empire. Led by really, really committed, effective program managers. What they said as we talked about integration is, we've been doing this for years anyway. And within that, the question was, well, what's this that you've been doing? And how is it that you've been doing this, but we couldn't see any evidence of collaboration across programs? So I mention that just to say that when we talk about needing to change the culture, particularly for people who have done a good job, it's a lot of effort. And in that regard, I included this slide because a lot of us who do public health work, I think, you know, believe in this and subscribe to the thought that we should be the change that we wish to see in the world. And what I would tell you is that for every one of our program managers who embodies this, they want it to be the change in their own world and couldn't really yet see how coming together and integration was going to do it. So then in our infrastructure work, we had a notion at DPH that within health reform, as we address social determinants of health, it was going to be logical for our partners in our executive office in Health and Human Services to see our role in initiatives that the governor and secretary had wanted to start as health reform and prevention were really, really upheld within the administration. The chronic disease blueprint was an effort in which we were really, public health was supposed to be in the conversations to identify how we would address chronic disease risk factors at the community level. Unfortunately, about 8 months into, multiple meetings, the work was suspended as we shifted more towards looking at cost containment and quality improvement. We did convene a diabetes task force, largely led by our diabetes program, with our other chronic disease partners at the table. So we had a task force. I can't really tell you that there's a huge amount of work that's going on after it. Academic detailing was, are you guys familiar with academic detailing? So academic detailing is the equivalent of pharmaceutical reps going out to practices saying, use this medication or that. So our chronic disease programs had started an initiative going out to do quality improvement work and talk about best practices and practice guidelines to support community health centers and practices across the state. The patient-centered medical home initiative was, there might be others in here who's with states who have applied to CMS for demonstration projects. Well, we thought because of chronic disease self-management and our community health worker program that we would be able to provide excellent support for the patient-centered medical home initiative. But what we learned was that Medicaid, who was writing the application, really didn't understand what public health did anyway. And they thought that we just had health promoters who could go out and they could deploy them in the communities where the medical home projects were going to exist. So along the way, a couple of things happened. One, under our commissioner, we did have the launching of a statewide wellness program called Mass in Motion, which has helped set a framework with partners across the state that we were going to be out advancing chronic disease in the communities. So our external partners saw that, but internally within our health and human service agencies, it felt that public health was coming by invitation only because people really couldn't see how we fit. Over the past month and a half or so, though, with the announcement of the public health infrastructure grants that have come out to states, we see tremendous new opportunities for really developing our own infrastructure. Okay, our internal structure has really been around strategic planning, refining our work plan, establishing guiding principles that really got supported our chronic disease leaders. And along the way, we've also spent a lot of time identifying the training needs that our staff need. A couple of funding opportunities helped reinforce the notion of collaboration, one of which was an ASTHO Stroke Systems of Care grant that we applied for and received a little over a year ago, where in advancing primordial and secondary prevention, all the work around stroke prevention has been conceptualized by heart disease, diabetes, physical activity, nutrition together, as opposed to just our heart and stroke program doing it. The Communities Putting Prevention to Work grants have also been applications which have gone in as collaboratively as they could, even at times when CDC looked for us to primarily have our nutrition, physical activity, and obesity folks do the applications. And on the community pilot front, we started a new grant program, having an interdisciplinary team write an RFR going out to community-based organizations to tell us what they thought needed to happen in their communities on a policy or systems change to make it easier for men of color to make addressing chronic disease risk a higher priority for them. And that's been a process that really got people around the table asking, well, why was I chosen in the first place? Because we deliberately took informal leaders. We deliberately did not just invite the program managers. We included Gail Hirsch, who's here, who runs our community health worker program, along with people from violence and injury prevention, and encouraged people to really believe it when I said I didn't have a plan for what it was supposed to look like. We wanted them to come up with this. And it was a hard process for them, but also built a lot of the work along the way. We've been challenged because a lot of the ways that our programs evaluate themselves now is really through process, and we've been trying to get people along the way not to just think, okay, if we're collaborating a little bit, we're having good outcomes, but to also get them think about what is being more effective at the community level look like at the beginning. We've understood that for program managers who have been really well rewarded and successful because they're always funded and get more dollars for their chronic disease programs, that coming in new as leaders, we have to really help them believe that we're not going to jeopardize their status with CDC if we ask them to do things differently. And because we're trying to be more effective at the community level, it's been very important for us to build the link between our chronic disease programs and our healthy communities programs, because most of our chronic disease programs work in the building as opposed to out in the community. So there's a lot of work that has to happen there. We've also, as we've all gotten down to the base of the public health impact pyramid and talked about social determinants, learned that we talk about policy systems and environment change, but people don't really necessarily know what it means, so we're doing a lot of training around that. And we've worked very hard with CDC, who told us that this really is a negotiation, this really is collaboration with them, because we also learned that although we have chronic disease programs funded by CDC, it's more as if they're federal workers who work in the State Department of Public Health. And that's my point about staff seem led more by their project officer but managed by us. So cutting through the notion that if they do something differently, it's not going to be approved by CDC. And everybody's been going through budget cuts, so I include it because it's just a reality that we work with. The fact that we had budget cuts also helped promote urgency to change. The fact that we're part of a pilot helps all of us who want to do well work harder to do a good job. We've had tremendous support from our project officers. It's been a great learning environment with our partner states. Health reform has given us more of a chance to do things differently. And I would just conclude by saying a couple of things, one of which is that, you know, coming into State Department of Public Health, having been in the private sector before, you know, I had people laugh when I said I was actually going to go work for the state. But I believe that, you know, this comment about public managers really being innovators is something that, you know, we should all embrace. And because we're at a session on social justice, I also want to say that part of being the change, if we put this in the context of this conference this year, is that we really have to remember that all this work is about the changes that are necessary to address social justice and health equity. Conclusion. Thank you.